Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Thanks to Pete for the update. We'll get to the Redskins and the Nationals in this Beltway Blitz in just a minute, which is getting started momentarily. But I didn't pay off the Dak Prescott tease that I had mentioned as we got hot and heavy on some NASCAR questions that I had after watching the race last night under the lights in Darlington. But this tweet from Dove Kleiman, who covers the NFL for a couple different outlets, he said, and if you're buying what he's selling here, okay, this is not Schefter, this is not Mortensen or any of the big boys. But he says, Dak Prescott turned down a five-year, $175 million contract offer from the Cowboys, according to what he heard Chris Sims say on the air today. Chris Sims, who we've had on the show many times, NBC Sports, Pro Football Talk, great analyst at NBC. I think he's tremendous and is going to be a superstar. He has heard that Prescott turned down a five-year, $175 million contract from the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah.
Prescott instead is seeking, quote, north of $45 million a year.
Yes.
So he turned down a deal that would have made him the highest paid. He is looking for more than $45 million a year from the Dallas Cowboys. So I have a lot of thoughts, and I'll just tell you, we need to come back to this as soon as the blitz ends.
Oh,
because I could do the next 2 hours on this. Obviously, Danny, I want the Cowboys to pay Dak Prescott $45 million a year because I want good things for the Redskins. And I think that it would be great for the rest of the NFC East if they tied themselves to Prescott at a completely debilitating salary, particularly when this salary cap is about to shrink because of COVID-19, not allowing any fans to be at games this year. But Dak Prescott, before last year, had never thrown for 3,900 yards. He had never thrown 24 touchdown passes, which Baker Mayfield did as a rookie for a bad Browns team. Dak Prescott, before last year, had never had a quarterback rating above 96 but one time. Once in his 3 years. Now, he played a lot better last year. They put more on his plate and he ate it. He was unbelievable with 4,900 yards and 30 touchdowns. But Dak Prescott, in a market where you get paid what you're worth, and we went over this time and time again with Cousins, who was looking
for... Have
we
covered it?
I don't know.
We have, yeah.
$17 million less a year than Dak Prescott is a couple years later, by the way. Think about that.
Yeah.
And in the end, my point was, you can't pay Cousins this anyway, so you have to just let him walk. Dak Prescott shouldn't be paid this either. He should be allowed to walk, which is maybe why Andy Dalton is now a Cowboy. But my God, Dak Prescott's asking for over $45 million a year. If that's true, that's insanity.
I'm rooting for Dak Prescott harder than I've ever rooted for anybody in anything. Cripple that evil franchise. Make them pay every single cent. Oh, I hope it happens. I'm rooting. Now, that dollar figure won't get met, but let's say they compromise and put him at 40, and then the salary cap goes down. Oh, I can't wait. I hope it happens so badly. I am rooting for Dak Prescott. You deserve every penny, buddy. Every single penny. Was it because they went and got more weapons for you? That has no correlation with Amari Cooper and Michael Gallup. No. It's you. You did it, man. You did it behind that, what is it, a mediocre offensive line and no running game? No. It's not the new offensive coordinator that helped you finally. You did this all by yourself, Dak. Heavy lifting. You get that $45 million. You get it.
Let's get to the Beltway Blitz. We'll start you off with another NFC East team, the one you care about here in town. Let's talk Skins with Chris Russell. Landon Collins yesterday with reporters made it very clear that he thinks this defensive coaching staff is way better than the last one. He didn't use those words. I'm paraphrasing, but that's kind of what he alluded to. How much of an upgrade do you think it is?
Well, I think it's a huge upgrade. I don't know yet on offense what Scott Turner is going to be, but I mean, I think you have a pretty good idea of what we saw in Carolina with Christian McCaffrey. Now, you don't have Christian McCaffrey, but that type of offense, Greg Olsen, that type of wanting to go to the tight end down the seam, you don't have Greg Olsen. That's the problem right now, is what do they have compared to what they want? But on defense, it's going to be enormously better. Now, you know, the one thing I will point out, while everybody's celebrating Jack Del Rio over Greg Minuski, and there's no doubt that that is a tremendous upgrade, you know, you not only get that, but you also get Rivera as the head coach, who's, of course, a defensive mind coach. But you do have to factor in that you did lose Jim Tomsula, who's arguably one of the best offensive line coaches in the game. I don't know much about Sam Mills other than he's been around Rivera for a long time in Carolina, so I assume he's a good coach. John Allen says, you know, basically he really is impressed with him. So I definitely think I definitely think they improved, but until they solve that back end communication, I wrote a little something about that last night. I asked Jonathan Allen about that yesterday. Until they improve that, guys, they can come up with whatever scheme and whatever front they want. If they're still clueless on the back end in terms of that, they're still going to get picked on and shredded.
I don't know, Russell. I enjoy seeing big gains by the other team and two defensive backs pointing at each other. I always think that's way more fun. We get used to that a lot last year.
It is. It's very humorous.
It's humorous. It is a blast. Just let you know that it's not Josh Norman's fault this time. I want to go to that front, though. You mentioned Tomsula. Chase Young is here. There's no doubt he is a good player. How great, I think, remains to be seen, but that's an upgrade. He has star written all over him. Who's the odd man out, though, assuming health? Who's playing time is he eating into?
Well, I mean, with Chase, I mean, I think eventually when he gets comfortable, we have to see where Ryan Kerrigan is at, right? And if Ryan Kerrigan's having a year like last year, I would presume that he's going to probably see less snaps and maybe less emphasized role. I've talked with you guys about maybe potentially kicking him inside nickel situations, certain nickel packages and what have you, just to get him on the field some. Again, we'll have to kind of see how he's doing health-wise and if last year was a mirage. But that's the first place I would go. And then we still don't know what the hell they're going to do with Ryan Anderson, right? Is he a defensive end because he was a 3-4 edge outside linebacker and pass rusher and player in the 3-4, and he's converting, again, to a 4-3 edge and a defense, or are they going to put him at the strong side linebacker spot, which is where I think it probably makes the most sense. So again, I don't know what they're going to do with him. I don't know how Kerrigan's going to look, but I would presume, you know, Chase is going to eat away and probably gobble up most of the playing time from one of those two guys.
Chris Russell with us on Grant and Danny. Now, before you came on, sorry I made you wait, but I am blown away by this Chris Sims report on Dak Prescott.
I heard.
Now, that he turned down $5 and $175 million. He's looking for over $45 million a year. Now, we have done the quarterback 101, how the economy works at that position in this town. People couldn't quite grasp it with Kirk Cousins. This is not quite that, though. I mean, there is a market that has been established. At that time for Cousins, it was in the 27 to 30 range. Now it's in like the 35 to 40 range, and supposedly Prescott wants 45. I mean, what's your reaction to that?
Well, so here's the thing that I'm trying to figure out, right? I mean, he wants the 45 because under the way we used to do things, meaning pre-COVID-19, the salary cap would go up by, what, roughly $10, $11 million per year, and he doesn't want to sign a deal that's going to say average 32 or 33 or 34 when by the time he gets to year four or five of the deal, quarterbacks are going to be paid $40 million per year. So I kind of understand where he was shooting for, trying to project that rise. The problem is right now, if he's holding on to that, that rise ain't there anymore, at least not short term, right? Because of what you mentioned before I came on, Grant, and you're absolutely right. The salary cap is going to go down, you know, I mean, unless they come up with a solution that I'm not aware of, salary cap's going to go down significantly. I mean, we could be talking, anywhere from 30 to 60 million per team. So if you sign a deal, if you're Jerry Jones, Stephen Jones, and the Cowboys, that calls for, again, a $45 million salary in year five. Now, that doesn't automatically mean that's the cap number, but the cap, and if the salary is 45, the cap number is going to be somewhat close to that, say it's 40, whatever it is, then you have to kind of project, okay, well, we don't know where this cap thing is going. And if we do that, we already did $20 million on Amari Cooper, which they can get out of after a couple of years, and they already have big money deals to DeMarcus Lawrence and Ezekiel Elliott and Zach Martin. I mean, at some point, the rubber's got to meet the road, right? So I would assume that's where the Cowboys are pushing back. But it's interesting how it's gone from, oh, no, they're just arguing about years. Like Dak wanted a four-year deal. The Cowboys wanted a fifth. Now we're talking about hardcore dollars, which is what it's probably always been about from the start. Just people were making stuff up about no problem with the money. It was always about the years.
Hardcore dollars. Russell, thank you, buddy.
I'm a big believer in hardcore dollars.
Hardcore Russell is here with us. Thank you, buddy. Appreciate it as always. Let's talk some Nats, please, Tommy. We're going to Pete Metters to do that. You know why Nats are Pete Metters? Why he called Nats play-by-play on the radio. That's why. Pedro, what did you make of Britt Jaroli's report about some Nationals may be bristling about the their receiving of rings in a timely manner?
There's a ton of things still to get to on the show. A lot of stuff we want to cover, a lot of topics that'll be fun. The Nats unveiling a team-produced documentary this weekend. Players getting their rings, some might not, at the same time as others. We got Movie Club. Paul Pierce says LeBron James isn't in the top five all time. We'll get into all that before 2 o'clock today. But we've kind of hit the brakes on the regularly scheduled program with Dak Prescott news. Chris Sims saying that he's asking for $45 million or more per year. No quarterback as of right now makes more than $35 million a year, which is the AAV of the number one highest paid QB in that category, which is Russell Wilson. So I figured, Danny, not that this is necessarily a one-to-one, as we always said with Cousins. You don't just get paid where you rank in the NFL. You get paid if you're the last guy to get paid by surpassing the others if you're good enough, if you're in the category of being able to hold a team hostage. And Dak probably is. So
if you're above the threshold and it's your turn, you get paid.
Right.
It's that simple.
So you could very easily make the case he needs to get at least $36 million a year because Wilson, who's better than him, makes $35 million and he's already on the books and now it's Dak's turn. And that's kind of how this economy works. It's buying a house in a neighborhood. You look at the house to your left. You look at the house to your right. The market's now better. The appraisal comes in. This is how this is done. But I figured it would be instructive and just interesting to see where we would have him among NFL quarterbacks right now. So I pulled up the index that I liked looking at all of last year that's really, really smartly done on NFL.com by four of their analysts who crunch all the numbers and look at the play of every quarterback. And this was at year's end, 1 through 32, and I think they even went deeper, anybody who started a game last year at QB, and they ranked them all. So we'll just go down this list until we find Dak Prescott, and you'll agree or disagree with this guy being above him, okay?
So is this for who would you – like, you're a random team A, and you'd rather have this guy or this guy start for you this year? Is that kind of the idea?
So the question is who is better. So, yeah, I think the best way to do that is just who would you rather have as your quarterback?
Right. So for the sake of argument, just to further drill down on the point – I'd rather have Dak Prescott on my team for the next 5 years than Drew Brees because Brees is going to retire after this year. But I'd rather have Drew Brees this year than Dak Prescott.
Well, yeah, irrelevant. I mean, we're not taking ages or anything into account. This is right now, where does he rank among NFL quarterbacks, right? I mean, I don't know that we got to further complicate it. Where would you put him on a list of best quarterbacks in the NFL at this moment? So this was their list at the end of the year. Tied for first, they have Pat Mahomes and Lamar Jackson. Obviously, both of those guys at this moment are better than Dak Prescott at that position, the last two MVPs in the league. Fair?
Yep. No problem there.
All right. Their third quarterback from last year. And they use a bunch of numbers and basically look at a lot of peripherals and things. This is as good a quarterback rating as I've found, but here we go. Russell Wilson is third on their list from last year.
No issue there?
Absolutely take him over Dak. They have Drew Brees listed fourth, only played in 11 games last year, 27 touchdowns and 4 picks. I think you'd be crazy for one season of football coming up to take Prescott over Drew Brees.
Same here. Give me Brees.
All right, so we continue. We both have four. Deshaun Watson, they list fifth.
You know how I feel. You know how I feel about Deshaun Watson. Absolutely, I'm taking him. Every time and twice on Sunday. Even if you look at some of the numbers, quarterback rating-wise, Watson's numbers not as good this past year as Prescott. I will take Deshaun
numbers
Watson.
Numbers-wise, last year, for the first time, by the way, 3 years before that, not like this. But his numbers last year were pretty astronomical, so you give him credit for that.
Better in almost every category, but I'll take Watson.
Give me Watson. I mean, and I don't even know how close it is, honestly. I'm not a anti-Dak guy. I think there are plenty of them out there. I actually like Dak, I would say, a lot more than a lot of people do because I'm a big pocket passer guy. I prefer that than running around and making plays as a dual threat. But Dak is a pocket passer who's athletic, which is kind of what I look for, honestly. Like, he's almost the mold for me of what I want. But anyways, Watson over him, there's five. They have Ryan Tannehill. Again, this is based on last year, ranked sixth. Now, that doesn't mean going into this year he'd be the sixth best quarterback. I'm just using this list from the end of last year as our sorting pile. I would not take Tannehill over Prescott.
Prescott over Tannehill for me.
All right, so we're still at five. Aaron Rodgers, of course I would take him over Dak Prescott.
Yep.
So we're at six. The eighth best quarterback in the league last year is Kirk Cousins, according to this list. Completed 70%, 8 yards per attempt, which is pretty high. Just 6 interceptions with all of his passes. Only lost 3 fumbles, which has been a problem throughout much of his career. So they've got him eighth. This is where I start to have a little bit of a debate. I'm going to kind of put this in a pile to come back to. Personally, I would take Cousins over Prescott, I think.
I'd go Prescott over Cousins, narrowly. I think this one's really close.
Yeah,
but my nod goes to that playmaking gene that you talked about. I look at some of the rushing totals, rushing touchdowns, little bit more in the – it all breaks down, and then nod to Prescott there.
Definitely. He's got way more playmaker to him. I think Cousins is a naturally more gifted, more accurate passer. Mm-hmm. Matthew Stafford is next on their list. Now, he got hurt and only played 8 games. He completed 64%. He was on pace for mid-4,000 yards. I mean, he was at 8.6 yards per attempt last year, 19 touchdowns and 5 picks. I think people sleep a little bit. He was balling. Would you rather have Stafford or Prescott?
So this is going to be a hot take in the football community, but Stafford, a million times over. He was on pace, as you said, for 5,000 yards and almost 40 touchdowns last year when he got hurt. Give me Stafford.
I take Stafford as well. So at this point, you know, we have whittled through what is 9 guys. I've taken 8 of them. You've taken, I believe, 7. Because I had Cousins. Carson Wentz is next. You know how I feel about Carson Wentz. I'm taking Wentz over Prescott. They
Wentz for me, too.
10th.
Yeah, Wentz for me, too. I know he's been hurt a bunch, but last year he made chicken salad out of beaks. I mean, unbelievable what he did last season.
And then they have listed 11th, Dak Prescott. He's next on their list. Now, other guys behind him, Matt Ryan, I would take over Dak. Tom Brady for 1 year. I think at this point I would take Dak over Tom Brady, but that might be scalding. I'll know about a month into the year how much football Brady's got. I thought he was very pedestrian last year.
So Brady for me over Prescott. I'd like to see if they change places, what Prescott would have done with zero weaponry in New England and what Brady would have done with what Dallas has. We're going to find out in effect this year with a year older Brady, obviously. But you give him some weaponry, I bet you get some pretty good video game numbers.
So we both are even at this point. I missed. Did you go Ryan or Dak?
Ryan.
Okay. They have Kyler Murray listed 13th above Brady. I think that's too high for me. I love Murray's upside, but I wouldn't take him over Dak at this point. What about you?
Prescott over Murray.
By the end of this year, that could change. I mean, Kyler Murray
certainly could.
Started to come around the second half. Jimmy G, they've got 15th. I'll take Dak over Jimmy G.
Dak over Jimmy G. Same here.
Derek Carr, Ryan Fitzpatrick, Josh Allen. So now I think we're in a range where Dak is obviously better. So
yep,
basically we've got him around, what, the 12th best quarterback in the NFL? Something like that, it feels like.
I think 11 for me is where I've got him. Yeah, so that range, 11 or 12. 11, 12, 13, somewhere in there.
Which is above the threshold where you get to hold a team hostage.
That's right.
Which is essentially where Kirk Cousins got to, and he got to hold the Redskins hostage. Now, his demands were a Buffalo wing, and Dak wants a steak dinner. You know, basically, the idea being you get to say to a team, give me maximum money, make me the highest paid quarterback in the league, which, according to Chris Sims, the Cowboys made that offer to Dak Prescott. He would have been the highest paid quarterback in the NFL, and he turned it down. 175 over 5, if you do that math, is 35 per year, which ties him in AAV with Russell Wilson. Your highest AAVs at the quarterback position right now. Wilson, 35. Roethlisberger, 34. Rodgers, 33.5. Jared Goff, 33.5. Ugh, by the way. But there you are.
Worst contract in the league right now.
So, to me, if I'm Dak, 36 is the beginning of the negotiation, and I'm trying like hell to get to 40. But if he's asking for 45 or more, even by the standards that we've set of quarterback economics here, that doesn't quite mesh, does it?
No, it doesn't. And the other thing is, what have we just seen this offseason? We saw a longtime starter, not the bell of the ball by any stretch, but a longtime starter go be his backup in Andy Dalton from Cincinnati to Dallas. We've seen a guy that's an MVP not that far removed. Granted, injured. I know it's an exceptional case with the pandemic and everything, but Cam Newton can't get a job. Jameis Winston is a backup for $80. You know what I mean? Like this, all of a sudden, the quarterback market is either in a weird crunch because you got longtime starters and guys are playing longer than they have, and you've got the Aaron Rodgerses and the Roethlisbergers and you know some of the veterans that are still hanging on, or you've got kids, the Kyler Murrays, the Daniel Jones, the Haskins, etc. There's very few opportunities all of a sudden for a quarterback. Who's going to pay him $45 million a year? Who's going to do that? I don't know the answer. I don't think anybody.
Mike's saying it's $45 million for the final year of the deal, not every year in the deal. Well, I could just tell you based on what we've seen reported via someone saying what Chris Sims said, number one. Number two, let's say it is $45 million in the final year of the deal. Where is it starting? Is it starting at 35? Because, again, the offer that supposedly he turned down was 175 over 5, which would make him the highest paid quarterback in the NFL. Now, I have no problem with him turning that down. As I've said, I think he's handled this really, really well from start to finish. He should be playing the franchise tag game. I mean, look at what it's done financially for Kirk Cousins to do that, where he tried to get a deal done with the Redskins at a point where he said, buy in, believe in me, let's do this, let's get married. They said no, and he said, okay, fine, then this is how this is going to go. Cousins right now has the fifth highest AAV in football after his extension this offseason.
And the highest percentage of guaranteed money.
A year. Yeah. And he's every penny he's made since 2015 has been guaranteed. Mm-hmm. He hasn't had 1 cent on his contract. No other player in the league can say that since. So do what he did if you're Prescott. I think it's very smart. Go get it. But the difference between asking for 36, 37, 38, and you know if he's saying over 45, and we'll see. I mean, maybe this is the beginning of the negotiation and posturing, and they'll meet in the middle at 40, like you said earlier. And if that happens, then Dak crushed it. But, man, do I hope the Cowboys pay him whatever he wants.
That's right.
Because to me, paying Dalton like 20 a year moving forward, as opposed to Prescott, $40 million a year, with those weapons, with Zeke, who has more 100-yard games than any other back in the league over the last 3 years by 11 games, with that receiving core after drafting CeeDee Lamb to go with Amari Cooper, who you're paying $20 million, to go with Gallup, who went for $1,000 last year, that's a way more prudent way to go about your business, I would say.
100%.
But we'll see what they decide. Grant and Danny on the fan had to get into that. Next, the Nats are unveiling a documentary. What might we see in it? We'll get into that on the fan. The quote from Chris Sims, to give you the full context of his discussion, I guess this came in an interview on 105.3, the Fan's KNC Masterpiece show. From what I know of the situation, and I know from some people who are in the know, that he's been offered 5 years and $175 million. He wants a four-year deal. If they do agree to a five-year deal, they would like a really big number at the end of the fifth year to cover their butts for what the market might become at the position 5 years from now. And I've heard he's asking for somewhere north of $45 million in the fifth year. So the five and the 175, I mean, that's kind of the $35 million figure we've already heard, although I had seen the report that that was a four-year contract at $35 million. But 5 and 135, 35 is how you get to 175. That's what he has not agreed to. Over $100 million in guarantees, obviously, which would be a record-breaking contract for Dak Prescott. He is, according to Chris Sims, looking for a four-year deal. Look, quarterbacks should want to be under contract for as few amount of years as possible. The longer you are under contract, the worse for you because the cap explodes every single year. Here's the part that we can't figure out right now, though, is
right.
Will that keep happening? I mean, remember what Andrew Brandt said, what Adam Schefter has reported. If there are no fans, the cap could be shrinking by a 32nd of $3 billion, which is as much as $40 million per team. And if that happens after you've signed, if you're the Cowboys and you sign Dak Prescott for $40 million a year and then it shrinks by $40 million,
oh,
it's basically
handcuffed.
Like $80 million less to spend than you had the previous season.
That's right. So a number of factors here. The advantage for a team to lock it in as soon as you can, even if it means you're spending the most. Short term, it stings. But then you look up in a handful of years, and you actually have some value. So right now, Seattle, I mean, listen, Russell Wilson's an MVP caliber player, so bear with me. But you're not getting tremendous value on Russell Wilson. Once he gets superseded 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 times, then you are getting great value, right? I mean, you look at some of the deals as they kind of manifest themselves with the latest in line. Initially, it stings and it hurts. The cap goes up. Then you get good value. What Prescott's camp is doing, according to the story, is basically saying, not so fast, my friend. We don't want you to get good value at the end of this thing. We want to still be ahead of the class or at the top of the table or whatever analogy you want to use here to make sure that everyone, you know, has Dak Prescott still at the top of the league in terms of payment and compensation. We're looking at the percentage where we were 5 years ago, and then we'll look 5 years ahead. 45 sounds outrageous now. So did 30 a handful of years ago, and now there's, what, 8 or 9 guys north of 30 at this point in terms of AAV? It's smart. Again, it makes a lot of sense. I just keep asking, if I'm the Cowboys, I don't want to be held over the barrel, but who's going to pay him this? Is somebody else going to swoop in and do this? I need to hold firm if I'm Dallas. Of course, me advising him is to say pay him every cent that he wants and make it count $100 million against the cap for all I care.
Danny, you were directly affected by what D.C. decides to do in its reopening. You live there. But
yes.
So many of our listeners are in D.C. regularly, and most importantly, if they're D.C. sports fans, when we talk about the Nats playing baseball, having some people in the crowd at some point potentially, you know, we talk about the Caps coming back, if they're playing at Capital One Arena or the Wizards, D.C.'s rules are going to matter a ton to
yep.
the sports fans listening right now. There was a press conference today from the mayor, Muriel Bowser. What D.C. is looking at doing is on May 29th, so coming up a week from tomorrow, next Friday, they will allow for phase one to kick in, essentially, what they're calling stage one. So to go through some of the specifics here, the mayoral task force is recommending people stay 6 feet apart and continue to wear masks in public spaces until a vaccine or a cure. Muriel Bowser says D.C. could begin a phase reopening on May 29th. Included in that would be barbers, hair salons by appointment, restaurants for outdoor seating, parks and fields, but not playgrounds. These are some of the things we've seen already in Virginia and Maryland. They would allow for worship services, people going to church, capped at 10 people max. I mean, so you're not
Weird.
Going to church with 10 people
right.
because nobody goes to churches, I don't think, where 6 people sit around and are lectured. Curbside service for non-essential retailers. Not included in the recommendations for the first phase. No pools, summer camps, gyms, no indoor entertainment venues, bars, nightclubs, none of the museums opening back up as well. So I would say overall, this doesn't look any better or more hopeful, I wouldn't think, for games. I mean, stage four, whenever we get to that, would be a new normal for D.C., likely with all activities as close to normal as possible. All gatherings would be allowed. should we work remotely, new normal, whatever that means, and you can travel as much as you'd like. But stage three is up to 250 people in a gathering. Hey. So that's two stages away, and that is nowhere near being able to go to Nats Park to watch baseball.
Nope, that's not there yet. But the initial thing here, and this stuff that I think should already be open, and I know this is a hot take and everyone gets mad, not allowed to have an opinion on this sort of stuff. I think it's dumb because you need to be outside. You need to get some exercise. There's benefit to being outdoors, still separate from people. The tennis courts, they took the nets down. That doesn't make any sense to me. That's not intuitive to me. How far? I mean, you're 100 feet away from somebody playing tennis with them, and you can't do that.
You're both touching the ball at the same time. I'm just playing. I'm with you, by the way. I'm 100% with you. There should be way more outdoor activity allowed right now than is allowed. The proximity and the masks and those things can still all be taken into account. I guess just playing devil's advocate in terms of tennis, if you're both touching the ball and a contact is how this thing's transferred, is that their concern probably? Not how far apart you are?
I would typically, you know, I'm not playing with strangers. I'm just trying to get my six-year-old out of the house.
Agreed.
We'll hit a tennis ball for 5 minutes, you know.
Yeah, don't go play with someone you haven't seen in the last month.
Yeah, you know, and I'm not shaking hands with them to tell them good game or any of that crap. I'd like to have an activity, you know, for family members. My wife and I can run around and hit for a handful of minutes or something like that. So they put lids on the basketball courts. Again, same deal. I'm not going to play a three-on-three pickup. Maybe in some parts of the city, in some places, people are so pig-headed that they will. I don't know. It stinks that you got to make these restrictions for like the one group that can't get right or figure it out.
And they're so bullheaded. Rules.
Yeah, they won't follow. So I hate that part. So this is exciting to me. That means right now at a playground that's, you know, 500 yards from our front door, we haven't been able to use at all to keep the playground shut, but we can go shoot hoops, my kid and I, just for some exercise to get out of the house and for fun. Give me that. Bring me that little bit of joy.
That just refuse in a grocery store setting. You know, I'm not going to wear a mask when I just go for a walk and no one's around me and I'm walking my dog in my neighborhood. But, like, I'm at the grocery store yesterday and there are people that with their kids that just aren't wearing masks. And they're all up on you. They just don't care that there are people that, you know, we could probably do way more things way more normally than we are right now if you were able to touch a button and everyone just complied. But I think we're kind of fighting against and basically setting everyone else up with these rules to try to account for the dummies who just can't figure out that if we just do this correctly for a little while, maybe we could make some changes. But, I mean, I'm talking about, like, there are people who have said, you know, and I have no problem with this, by the way. I am team play ball. But, like, let's go to Nats Park. Let's all sit in a full stadium. And I asked my doctor, I'm like, what would you say about that? And he's like, well, I would say you should socially distance by 6 feet, you know, but if not, everyone should wear a mask and take precautions. But there are people that would say that they wouldn't do that. They wouldn't wear a mask. I don't know if you saw the video of the woman who was trying to go into the store. They wouldn't allow in, so she posted this video about how, you know, I can't imagine it was true, but I have a condition and I can't wear a mask in there. And they're like, well, we'll shop for you. We'll bring your stuff out. Well, you can't take my credit card. It's like, that's the person that keeps this whole thing from being able for you to play tennis. You know, it's frustrating, man. It is. And there's no answers. There's no necessarily right or wrong, but there is a what we're being told to do right now. And it's changing all the time because, as you said, you know, we're trying to make up for people that just don't want to play by the rules. Grant and Danny on the Fan, no movie club, right? You guys didn't watch a movie last night?
No, we didn't do it yesterday. We saved Spencer Confidential, our last movie, for when you came back.
All right, very good. So we can break down Spencer Confidential, which I liked. And we'll pick a movie. You want to do the list today?
I'm happy to do it, my friend.
All right. Movie Club is next on G&D Plus. What food would you wait the longest for? I've got a reason I'm going to ask you that next on The Fan. Krispy Kreme, Danny, decided that a couple of days ago they were going to give all these seniors from the class of 2020 who haven't gotten the normal traditional graduation process a box of donuts for free, 2020. Donuts. You had to show up
with your
class ring or in a cap and gown or your student ID, prove that you're a senior, and they're going to give you free donuts, which is a really great idea. The lines, though, that I saw all over the internet of the number of cars in line for these boxes of donuts were insane. Like, people were waiting apparently at one place almost 2 hours to get up to the window for their Krispy Kreme donuts, and your boy loves a glazed donut from Krispy Kreme.
There of course are few you do. Things you're a human being.
Better than a donut, and a Krispy Kreme donut is as elite as it gets in that category. But, man, I a couple hours, like, I know during this pandemic we got nothing to do and there's just nothing but time to kill. So, like, I one time waited at the bank about a month ago now for, like, 35 minutes in line. And I will say I would have gotten out of the line if there wasn't a car right behind me, but I didn't want to make a big fuss and ask them to back up. But in a million years, I wouldn't have done that. Like, I got in line at the bank, drove over there to put a check in, didn't do it electronically. I was like, I'll just drive over to the bank, get out of the house for a minute, don't have to leave the car, whatever. And, I mean, it was close to 40, 45 minutes of me sitting in that line. And in any other day, it would have been the worst situation ever. But I was like, I got nothing better to do. A couple hours for donuts, though. I mean, what's the food you'd wait the longest for, do you think, that you'd be served?
Now, today, in my life, they're just nothing. But if I'm going to wait a few minutes, I guess it'd be like a burrito or something like that. Like if it was a really good one or I was really hungry and it was like a food truck or something that was only going to be here once. But I don't do that anymore. You know, I don't wait for things. I don't when I was younger, I thought it was the coolest thing in the world to be in line for the Star Wars movie or be in line for the new PlayStation, be in line for it. I don't do it. I just don't. I can't get up for it anymore.
I can't wait in long lines either, unless I'm getting on a roller coaster or something like that. You know, and I just know when I'm getting into it at the beginning of the day, I'm going to an amusement park. It's going to be a line day. I got to get in that mindset. But if there's a food that I'm waiting the longest for, it would probably be something like that. It would be, you know, some type of baked good or sugary treat, just something that I kind of neglect in my normal life. You know, like the best donuts or cookies or something like that. It wouldn't be anything like normal, you know, like chicken, steak, burger. I'm not doing that. I can make all that at my house pretty easily, but I'm never waiting for 2 hours for anything probably ever again. But I get it. They're free. They're delicious. It's a one-day deal, so why not? All right, let's get to Movie Club. What did you think of Spencer Confidential? We tried to get you to watch this for weeks, starring Mark Wahlberg. You finally agreed. How'd you feel about it?
What a pedestrian Mark Wahlberg mail-in romp. I don't know. I mean, it happened. I saw it. I couldn't tell you about it.
My guy Peter Berg directed this.
I know. Peter Berg's good. I'm aware I watched the movie. I know that, like, Boylan was dirty and Eliza Schlesinger was there and she's annoying. She's the female Dane Cook, by the way. I don't know, man. I saw this movie.
Was that Eliza Schlesinger who played his chick?
His girlfriend, yeah. I'm aware that I saw the movie. Like, I saw it. I can tell you that I was there. And, you know, again, like, Boylan is a jerk. You can tell that was happening. And
Danny,
Spencer goes to prison.
How quickly did you know that Boylan was the bad guy?
Well, like, 11, 12 minutes, maybe?
Yeah. As soon
it felt like to me.
As soon as he brought the bag of donuts, I go, that's the bad guy.
That may be the bad guy.
It was very
bad. They put him in a black hat, maybe. I don't know, man. It just, I'm aware that I saw it. It's something that took up time. There were images. There were sounds. It was a movie. That's where it ends for me.
Alan Arkin's one of my favorite actors, so bonus points for getting to see Alan Arkin.
He stole the show, by the way. There were times where he saved the movie.
Absolutely. Well, see, I liked it a little more than you guys, it sounds like, so I won't say save the movie. I get where you're coming from, but I think he did steal the show. He's awesome. And you know who I think is really, really good in this and in everything I've seen so far? The massive dude from Black Panther and Avengers.
His name is
Winston Duke. This is a perfect role for him anyway, but I thought that character was great as well in this movie. Seems like.
So I thought you were going to chime in there. You had something, I thought.
I mean, I thought he was good. Danny obviously did not. I mean, that's fair.
Danny has no thoughts.
Seriously. I mean, it's one of those things where I'm aware that I saw it. I couldn't tell you that much about it, though. Like, it never got to me. It never got my attention. I mean, and I'm okay with a cheesy action movie. I don't know, man. Just something about it. Maybe I went in with bad intentions. Who could say?
Danny saw Post Malone on screen and just freaked out and turned it off.
That may have been
we could have had anybody but Post Malone. Why did we have to do that? It kind of did ruin some credibility, Dar, early on in that opening scene, where that old guy looks at him and goes, give him hell, Spencer. And then he just starts beating everybody up.
And he sits, the old guy sits there the whole time. He doesn't even move.
He's just sitting there?
Exactly. He's just chilling. That is kind of funny. All right, Danny, you got a list. We're getting ready for J.P. Finley at 1 o'clock, so we got to get to him at the top of the hour. So what did your list look like?
Dar, you are first up to accept or reject all movies currently on HBO, all available right now on HBO. So you could do like an HBO Go. You can find them. You can find them on demand, whatever. Okay. Here we go. It's an eclectic list. Crazy Rich Asians.
Yes.
Black Klansman.
Yes.
The Fighter.
No.
All right. He's gone. La La Land.
No.
Michael Clayton.
Yes.
Contagion.
Actually, no. No on Michael Clayton.
No,
I just
Michael
remember
Clayton.
What that
okay.
Was. No.
All right. Contagion.
Yes.
Oh, that's a yes. Okay. School of Rock.
Yes.
In Bruges.
Yes.
Castaway.
No.
And Dick Tracy.
No.
All right. Grant, you are up. Ready?
Yes.
Crazy Rich Asians.
Yes.
Black Klansman.
No.
All right, he's gone. Contagion.
Yes.
School of Rock.
Yes, definitely.
In Bruges.
No.
All right, that's a no. Thommy, down to three. You ready?
Yeah.
Crazy Rich Asians.
Yes.
Contagion.
No.
School of Rock.
No.
We are watching Crazy Rich Asians tonight. That is the film. Right. Boom,
I haven't
bam.
Seen it in a while. Watched it like a year ago with the wife.
I never saw
really
it.
Really good.
Yeah,
very
I
good.
Wanted to see it.
I don't know if you'll like it because it's chick flick. I feel like you don't like chick flicks, but I kind of do, and I liked it. Good
I'm
acting.
Into it, man.
Good writing. We'll do it. Crazy Rich Asians is the movie for Movie Club. It is funny. It is very funny. You are listening to 106.7 The Fan. J.P. Finley on the Redskins next.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.